Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, it's an Insiders edition with an all-pundit cast. On the program today, Stacy Woodbury, Michael Hackett, and Mary Lau. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I proudly sit on the board of the Nevada Youth Empowerment Project. Northern Nevada's homeless youth population is growing, and fast. It is estimated that there may be hundreds of homeless teens living in Washoe County. NYEP is a local transition home for homeless girls aged 17 to 21. NYEP has received a $37,000 challenge grant that must be matched by June 1st. Don't leave these girls on the street. Please donate today at nvyep.org.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great power pundit panel, and we're going to keep them for the whole show here so we can try and figure out what is going on. Mary, what is going on at the legislature at this point with so little time left?
Well, right now we're just wrapping up the bills that are left. We've closed the budgets pretty much at GovRec, but they always pretty much close at GovRec, no matter what you want to say. The enhancements still aren't done. They could come back and do more enhancements. You still have Maryland's live entertainment tax out there. I don't think it's going to be called the entertainment and admissions tax anymore, but we'll see. And
does that have a prayer?
Yeah, it does. It actually does. She's still working with the governor and stuff because it's still a flawed tax. I mean, it's an existing tax that has to be corrected. It underperformed all the way. We put it in place in 2003, and they tried to fine-tune it later on, but it's never functioned properly. So it's setting the stage for the interim study on services tax and stuff like this. So we're going to have a comprehensive study then.
So therefore, if it gets fixed, it would not be considered a new tax, even though it would draw more people in.
Yeah, it's not a new tax at all, because it's a tax that when it took the Department of Taxation and the Tax Commission almost a year, I think, to even get it in place because it was so poorly written. It was one of the last-minute deals in 03 trying to put things together. And it got so, even over here at Adele's, if they had a band outside, then all of a sudden there was entertainment tax. But if the same band was playing somewhere else, it wasn't. And that's not what it meant to be. Michael?
I agree with a lot of what Mary said. And I do think that...
Hang on, which parts do you disagree with? No, I'm kidding.
How much time do we have? No, and I agree with her what she was saying on the live entertainment tax, that it is it has been a constant work in progress since it was enacted in 2003. And I do think that there is a chance, and it's going to be focused on the exemptions that were created and how they try to bring those back into the play. But I don't think you're going to see any kind of big expansion in terms of trying to bring some of the industries that they had talked about, like the movie theaters, health spas, gyms, those types of things. I don't think that's going to be on the table. From a policy point of view, I think things are getting pretty close to being wrapped up for the the most part on the policy issues as well too. Friday is the deadline we're looking at, which they got to be out of the second house, and I think both houses are in a very good position right now, getting their business done. So,
what are the big policy decisions that are going to come out of this session?
In the broader context, I really can't say. I can tell you from the clients that I represent what they're looking at. I think one of the issues that's still in play from the healthcare community's point of view, and I represent the Nevada State Medical Association, one of the big issues is the practice of nursing and the push by APNs to practice more autonomously and more independently, and I still think that is a work in progress right now. I think something will come out. What it will be, I think that's yet to be determined. So.
And that's something
that's
that
on
retail...
the Senate board now, isn't it?
It's on the Secretary's desk right
Secretary's
now.
Secretary's desk, okay.
And I just realized I really haven't introduced everybody, which I normally would do. So those who are joining us halfway in here, Mary Lau is with us, President and CEO of the Retail Association in Nevada. Michael Hackett is with All Risk Consulting, and Stacey Woodbury is President of Appearances LLC. And we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers with more with the pundits right after this timeout.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, our All Pundit Show, we turn to Mary Lau, who's President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. I just wanted you to comment on what Michael was talking about here with nurses being able to do more. I'm presuming the Retail Association will be in support of that because you're seeing the chain drugstores putting...
Oh, and I think Michael will agree, too. Now, the medical community is concerned how they do it. But right now, with the ACA and everything, everything's going to push down a little bit. You know, doctors are going to have more assistance. Mm-hmm. The APNs are going to have to do more. Pharmacists are going to have to do more. Even chiropractics. There's assistance now in the chiropractic area where people can start training into that because we don't have enough medical providers and we don't have enough doctors in medical school, and the doctors aren't making the kind of money that they made before, so things are going to change. And some of this territory stuff has got to go away, but it's got to go away with responsibility and consideration for the practice, how it's done, and for the patient, the best care of the patient. What
okay,
can I do?
I want to come back to this in a second, but I want to bring Stacey into the conversation here. So you're saying a lot of things were already wrapped up a week ago. And people aren't really talking about that. They're acting as though there's still things ongoing.
Well, Sam, the first thing I noticed was that last Friday they had closed the education budget, which the Constitution does require be closed first, but they closed it at GovRec, which is always a big sign.
What does that mean?
That means that they did not make any substantial changes to the amount that the governor had at the in the executive budget. So that's always a big sign that they're getting ready to wind down and go home because they've got their education budget funded, which means they know how much they have for the rest of the budget. So it's just slotting that money out and closing it all down. I agree with my two compadres here that there are some other policy bills out there. I think you've got a desire to try to do more for education if something like Maryland's bill or something they thought might pull in more revenue. There's a desire to do that. You've got some, they had a big issue with sex trafficking this year. That hasn't been all resolved yet. So there's a couple of other big things like that. And then you've got the mining tax. And is the assembly going to actually vote against it when they voted for it in the past? And can the mining lobby stop that from happening?
So. Mary, your thoughts?
Well, it's not a mining tax. It's the SJR. It's just should the mining industry be taken out of the Constitution? Now, the funny thing is they are going to have to watch the budget carefully, and they're going to end up having to put some extra money, hopefully through Main Street Fairness, into rainy day or into the LCB budget even so, because it actually will reduce revenues coming in. So it's going to take it into a property tax mode once it's done. So they're going to have to see where that goes. But they also closed on Saturday. After they closed the DSA, they closed several other budgets too. But they've left open the Teach America, and they've left a few of those things off to the side to argue about and see if they get some more money. But we've also got the NV Energy bill is still moving. Governor's going to sign that, but that's huge. They dropped a late tobacco bill that is a very interesting bill because they had... It's going against the tribes in the state of Nevada who weren't part of the negotiations for the settlement agreement, for the master settlement agreement on the tobacco companies, but the state didn't handle correctly the non-participating manufacturers' money, so they're actually that they're supposed to keep in escrow. So they're actually asking a sovereign nation that didn't participate in any of the negotiations to agree to be penalized to bail out some issues. And it's a fascinating bill. It's being run by the tobacco companies, of course.
Is it going to go anywhere?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's greased.
And can I go back?
It's the AG's bill. But the tobacco companies are the ones that brought it to the AG.
Can I go back to something you said? So you're agreeing with the Mining Association then that if they're taken out of the Constitution, the state will get less money?
I agree with the people that did our work on it. You know, we've been very active in this tax conversation since the very beginning. And we've had all kinds of numbers run. We've looked at things. We've looked at that. You know, some of the gaming revenue things and everything else, because we're part of this state. We're a huge part of the income, the retail industry. Even gaming is almost becoming a retail store,
right,
with casinos included. I mean, gaming is a huge part of our state, too. But we're all partners now. So we had to sit there and look at everything, knowing full well we're coming up to this margins tax fight.
And it's interesting because it's not just policy, but it's politics as well.
Absolutely.
When it comes down to that. Okay, so Michael, Mary brought up the fact that you're going to see all these different medical things, you know, dropping down. And so, you know, for example, chiropractic, if you're insured, you may get 10 visits a year, and that's about it. So are you going to see insurance companies having to change the way that they do business to incorporate this widening spread of medicine into areas it wasn't necessarily in fully, at least?
I think you're going to see changes in every stakeholder in healthcare and how our healthcare delivery system provides care for our citizens right now. A lot of it is going to be determined by the Affordable Care Act. A lot of it is going to be determined by needs that we have yet to meet. You know, we have very significant access problems in this state to primary care, to rural care access, and I believe that is really where more of the focus is right now in terms of trying to address the needs that we have for care. And so, as Mary was saying earlier, how we do it is going to be very critical in terms of ensuring patient safety, ensuring quality of care, but yet providing the access where there currently isn't significant access right now. And so I think we have to stay away from these very broad sweeping measures that automatically expand this scope of practice or give this authority, and do things in a much more measured, incremental way to assure that, again, patient quality is not compromised as we go about this.
Well, one of the other big bills I think they had in medicine was the telemedicine bill that they're
right.
That's the Bannon
right.
bill that Senator
exactly.
Jones is carrying, and that yeah. is that's going to pass.
That is going to go through, exactly.
And explain exactly what that is.
Well, what it will do is allow, particularly in rural areas, for them to establish telemedicine centers. The Bannon program would start in the ICU, and they would have staff there to take care of the patients, but they would also have feeds to doctors in other places who could provide diagnosis and treatment with a bedside care provider, particularly in a rural area in the middle of the night when no one's on call because they're understaffed as it is. They would have access to better advisement via the internet medicine.
Right. Yes. But again, you have to make sure that the quality assurance
yes.
pieces are in place there, that whoever is providing the medicine from a remote location, that they are properly licensed, all of that. You have to have established the existing patient relationship, so this is not a first diagnosis when this person presents themselves for care via telemedicine. So again, this is all going back to the issue of patient safety and quality of care.
Big concerns over where those physicians were located and banners are overseas.
Well, but they will be licensed in Nevada.
But they would be licensed
yeah.
in
right.
Nevada.
So you could have an emergency room situation where the patient is brought in, like Stacy said, in a rural area or any location, actually, mm-hmm. and you could have the cameras, and you could have another doctor that is a caregiver in heart medicine or something taking the camera and say, no, do not triage that patient out. Put them in now because you got to get a cardiac surgeon in to see them.
You know, and I thought the drone program in southern Nevada at Creech Air Force Base was pretty remarkable, that they're fighting the war in Afghanistan, and now we see the technology
coming.
Amazing.
It's amazing what's going on in medicine.
That's right. I mean, the iPad could be the most valuable tool in delivering medicine right now than we ever expected it to be. So
all right, let's take a break. More with our panel when we come back.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, or any other life-changing calamity, how can you be sure you'll receive the best advice and help with your claim?
At Galloway & Jensen, we have the answers you want and the experience you need.
Insurance adjusters are trained to act like your friend, but they're also trained to take advantage of you.
We work for the insurance companies,
and we won't let them take advantage of you.
For your free consultation, call Galloway & Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should, too.
Do your cabinets look worn out and outdated? They work fine, but they don't look fine. What do you do to make them look new again? Call Enhance, the revolutionary affordable way to renew your cabinets and wood floors in Sparks. Enhance in just one day could have your cabinets or floors look new again. Enhance could change the color of your cabinets too for so much less than buying new. Look at these before and after photos. Amazing in just one day. Call Enhance in Sparks now for free in-home consultation at 358-8808.
Don't miss JM Furniture's 10 sale with these dresses. Drastically reduced prices. Recliners starting at just $199, sofas from $299, love seats from $249, five-piece dinette sets from $299, end tables from $49, five-drawer chairs from $199, odd bar stools at $39, and odd dining chairs also from $39, plus much more. And how about this microfiber chaise sectional with free storage ottoman? And check out our entertainment console starting at just $199. Don't miss the JM Furniture tent sale now through Memorial Day.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers and our All Pundits show with Mary Lau, Michael Hacken, and Stacy Woodbury. So headline in the Las Vegas Sun from Andrew Doman, last-minute bill introduced to cap emergency room charges. That seems like a really big deal. and could potentially hurt hospitals dramatically.
It could be a big deal. We just saw the language on this yesterday. From my point of view, in terms of the physicians that I represent, we feel that there will be an indirect impact on physicians. We're just not sure how many physicians, certainly those that provide emergency care, whether it's the ER docs themselves or other physicians that are involved in the stabilization of a patient when they present themselves at an emergency room. We think that they may be impacted as well on this. So this is an issue that has been dealt with, I'd say, for the last 8 to 10 years. It's what we've known as balance billing. There was legislation run last session. They've been trying to address this through regulatory process in years past. And this is just a new incarnation of it, but a different approach in terms of doing it through resolution as opposed to doing it through statute. The benefit of resolution, it's not subject to a veto of the governor. So there's that aspect that's involved here. But we are really trying to fully assess what the impact of this is going to be, what the constitutionality of this is going to be in terms of, you know, what the U.S. Constitution provides in terms of the ability to contract and what they may be trying to do to our Constitution and impacting that ability through this resolution.
Do you see this getting done in this session?
I think they'll get something out because it is a resolution. It can be a party line vote. And it is the speaker's bill.
To say the least. I'm trying to get through as many different topics as I can while I got you all here. So Brian Greenspun put out an editorial, a midweek editorial, which is rather unusual for him. He's the publisher of The Sun. And he was going on about inequity in state spending on roads as a joke and talking about how there's so much money being spent in northern Nevada versus the needs in southern Nevada, and it needs to be reversed. A, do you think that's fair? And B, do you think that aren't we already seeing a greater proportion of the money being sent to southern Nevada?
Well, actually, there's been a couple of bills that address that issue, and I don't know if it's fair or not, but I think the perception is definitely that these legislators are coming up here, they're seeing, they've referenced the new bridge from Reno to Carson City and saying, why aren't we getting the money in southern Nevada? But the bottom line is, there's less money statewide, and that's true in southern Nevada too. There's a couple of bills that would address that. There's AB 413 that would do fuel tax indexing in Clark County to allow them some more money to build roads down there. There's a Senate bill, I think it's Senate Bill 322, which would change the makeup of the NDOT Board of Directors that Senator Menendez brought to the table. Currently, that is 4 constitutional officers. I think it's governor, lieutenant governor, AG, and controller, and 3 representatives, 1 from each of the highway districts. It would change it to a board that's 11 members, 8 from southern Nevada, 2 from northern, and 1 from rural. That would be a huge policy shift. I think the governor is a little bit uneasy about that because that is such a big pot of money that is not general fund money.
Well, and Mary, Mr. Greenspun talks about economic development that would come with putting more road funding into southern Nevada, but isn't that the same story for northern Nevada or anywhere else in the state, that you would have economic development based on construction and then the retail and everything else that goes along with open freeways?
I just got the impression Mr. Greenspun was looking for something to write about. And be,
well, he doesn't usually write 2 columns a week.
I know, and to just get heard again, because, like Stacy said, it's already being addressed, and it's sort of a joke because you can't drive around anywhere in Las Vegas without running into road construction and things. And it is going to be shifting. There is things being done now, so it was much ado about nothing. And, they're really working towards getting that 15 or what is the?
I-11,
there you go, between Las Vegas and Phoenix and stuff like this. That's probably a serious road. That one's been around forever and stuff, but it's like, it's being done. You've got Tom Skanky in a situation now where he can move things forward. So thanks, Brian, but a little too late.
So I believe you just told Mr. Greenspun to stop whining.
Which I've done personally, too. So, it's like, come on.
All right, so now, as the clock is running out here, we've got, barely 2 weeks to go, not even 2 weeks to go. We're seeing a tremendous amount of movement, late hours at the legislature. Is there any chance that this session could actually finish up early?
One could only hope, I guess. I think there's always that possibility, especially because, as we discussed, the fiscal issues in the budget have pretty much been addressed by now. So I think there is that possibility, but I also know better than to count that as real, because I think sometimes when there's too much time left to do something, they find something to do.
I think they're getting ready, because yesterday they had 100 bills on third reading calendar in the Senate, 100. And Mo Dennis made the impassioned speech from the floor where he withdrew the payroll tax. There was supposed to be a big joint hearing yesterday on that, and he withdrew it and sorry, my throat. Made a big speech about how important education is and being disappointed they're not funding it. And Reuben Kween got up and Debbie Smith got up, and people were trying to support education, but at the same time, basically saying we're not gonna take up some time. We just need to finish what we're doing here.
Is this a case really of where it's the governor's session and the speaker's session?
Pretty much so, yeah. I mean, Maryland has been working cooperative across the way, across the campus and stuff like that. And not saying that that Dennis hasn't, that the majority leader hasn't, but he was perhaps not as realistic as Maryland. And, you know, that it was very unusual to have that little debate yesterday. That kind of a debate and a disappointment, what we weren't able to accomplish, is usually the last few days of session. There was no reason to cancel the hearing. He could have gotten things on the record, but he wasn't getting any support from any of the constituency bases either. It was nice to blame the legislators with the debt on arrival and stuff like that, but that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, the business license tax was debt on arrival too, and it passed by the end of the session. But it was premature for that kind of a debate. I mean, we had 28 senators speaking, which meant that a few of them got to speak more than once. And that was, it was kind of bizarre to watch. And that makes me think that we're not going to go all the way, or if we do, it's going to be very smooth, because there's only a few amendments on the assembly side. They're actually not going to be in session on the assembly side this weekend because they're caught up on their duties.
Wow. The only thing that may hang things just a little bit is the fact there is an inordinate amount of bills that have been sent to the money committees because of fiscal notes, much more so than in years past, and especially on the assembly side. So what their appetite is to process those bills, I think, will be a factor in determining how much longer we go.
And that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you all. Great show. Really appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
My daughter was a wonderful young woman, and she really loved teaching. She was in the corner trying to put as many kids as possible in that little one-seater bathroom. And that's where she was killed, and the kids were killed in the corner.
News 4's Fact Finder team, winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award and now nominated for an Emmy. Our Silver State Secret Stories shed light on legal loopholes and government secrets. News 4, your home for investigative journalism in Northern Nevada and the Sierra. News 4's Joe Hart, working for you.
Getting answers to the questions you ask the most.
Submit your questions to jhart@mynews4.com. And remember to put Ask Joe in the subject line. Ask Joe, weeknights on News 4 at 6.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining creates more than 50,000 jobs. Mining contributes more than $300 million in annual tax revenue, with more than 61% going to the state to fund our schools and senior programs. And mining invests right here, where you live, work, and go to school, paying more taxes per employee than any other industry in the state. In good times and hard times, mining is working for Nevada families, working for you. Visit our website and learn more.
When you are late on your payments, your bills can multiply. That's when you need CashCo. It's easy to get the cash you need at CashCo. There are no credit checks and no year-long contract. You can even apply by phone. All you have to do is write us a check and we'll hold it till payday. It's that simple. And with our quick approval process, you can get your money in as little as 15 minutes. So don't wait. When you think cash, think CashCo. With two Northern Nevada locations to serve you.
On our next broadcast, Reuben Kiwan. We'll see you on our next broadcast.